Hello, everybody. We can start talking again, maybe. And if anybody wants, I could tell you more about finding lost phones. But I'm going to assume that that topic has been exhausted.
Well, don't you have the little button on the main bass that you can hit to hit the tones to find it?
No, I don't have one that has that.
Panasonic's, I think that's a very handy feature.
We have Panasonic. I have a Panasonic. That's right.
I used to have a Panasonic, and somewhere along the way it died, and then somebody gave me one. It's an AT&T, and they doesn't have that.
You have Alexa.
Yes.
Can you ever call you?
I think sometimes, let's see, the account was not in my name. I'm not sure. Oh, you mean if I give her a direct number?
Yeah, call 973, whatever the number is, and she'll dial it, and that's it.
Okay.
All right, we might have solved that one.
Yeah.
For that matter, if you have a cell phone, you could do the same thing from that cell phone to your own.
Yeah, correct. She only has one phone, though, right?
No, I do have a cell phone.
Well, there you go. You could do it yourself.
In fact, I
do that all the time.
On the lookout for somebody who is really familiar with their blind shell phone, because I'm having trouble and I don't think it works properly and it's new. And if it's me rather than it, I would like to know that.
I'll give you another
contact, Judy. I have another contact that sells as a third provider. So I'll see if he can get in contact with you.
Well, are you thinking of Michael Babcock over at AT Guys?
Yeah, Michael Babcock.
He's really good.
Sherlock, Washington in New Jersey. Well, he's not New Jersey any longer, but he was from New Jersey. He's in Florida now. But.
And that may be a good contact, but I didn't buy it from them. So, I don't want to take advantage of that. I'm trying to call the place that sold it to me and they're not calling me back.
How about the blind shell company itself?
I don't believe they're in this country. I could be wrong about that, but I don't think they are.
At the very least, they probably have an email for customer service, you would hope.
Yeah, but they have to call me. I mean, I maybe could email a request, say, please call me, because there's more than one thing that's not working properly. And I think I need a really big, important blind shell doctor.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I don't know. I know I had someone who reached out to me to actually create the manual for them, which is on your phone, but I actually made an audio file of the manual, and that helped them to have it separate from the phone, and that way they could go
because
through
I,
it.
I always think it's weird. They put the manuals on our phones, and we don't know how to use our phones to read the manual.
They do that with all kinds of electronics.
I know.
Well, if you're a nice girl, maybe Michael will share his audio file with you.
Ooh, I don't want to know even what that means.
Got to keep it clean. Run. Oh, wait. I didn't mean it that way. Anyway.
Okay.
Get myself in more trouble.
Well, if you use a computer, if you know how to read, I could send it to you
as
a text file.
And
that way you could, I could send it to you that way, whichever's easier, audio or I think I'd have to recreate the audio. I don't know if I still have it, but actually there was also on the blind bargains or atguys.com, JJ did a demo or someone did a demo that may not solve your issue. It's just a basic quick get up and get started.
I think because
with it.
I bought it from these people, they need to tell me why a certain part of it. For instance, my voicemail, I don't get voicemail and I know I should. I know it's on there.
Mm.
And also when it says, I listen after the beep, but I don't have a beep.
Well, this is Sandy, and I sometimes have gotten a beep, and it still hasn't done what I thought it should do. Or it said, speak more clearly, and I'm thinking, I can't speak more clearly.
Wait, is this a blind shell?
Yes.
Oh, ooh, bad sign.
Oh, we might have to start a lemon law for blind shell. No, I'm like...
Well, my trouble is I don't use it often enough to remember what I'm supposed to do.
Well, there's that, but I just started with this one, and I don't think it's all that. Maybe next week, Sandy, we can do blind shell morning or something.
I think we'll have a little time.
Yeah, I do too.
Well, you can if you do New Jersey, if you do tech chats or something, you could invite Michael Babcock or something from AT Guys to come in and talk about the blind shell. Now, you might not want to troubleshoot in front of everyone, but,
Well, I wouldn't mind, but the people listening might.
Right.
Yeah,
but I mean,
that's my idea, Michael. I hear you. Maybe I could do it on a New Jersey Tech Division call and he can be a guest speaker or something.
Right. Because things like that,
and then
voicemail.
Judy in because we know she needs all the help she can get.
Well, I'll send you an email if we get him to come in onto a call and we'll go from there. Good.
Janie, are you coming to Washington seminar this week?
I am not, but there's 14 or 16 people from New Jersey that are.
Wow.
But they're mostly younger. They're doing a lot of students, and they're some of the students are team leaders. So
good idea. It's a job for younger people. They can walk around.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Then they'll all come and they'll want to turn in their reports at one time.
If they're even doing it. No, they're younger. They'll have the techie wherewithal to do it.
I wanted to ask Stuart something. Stuart, are you the newsline coordinator for your state?
No.
Oh, okay.
But that
what was the question? I can relay it to that person.
Oh, no.
So can I.
I was going to say Sandy could do better, yeah.
Oh, no, we're doing Newsline next. And I was going to say, Michael, you're a Newsline coordinator for your state, aren't you, Indiana?
I'm not the coordinator, but I do manage the service. Okay. You know what I mean? I log in and update the content on for the state information channel and so forth.
Okay.
So I know that part of it.
I was going to make a comment that on this call, I think Liz Weiscarver was the coordinator. Anyway. I was going to say that in the next, I'm glad I didn't say it. I was going to say, Stuart's here and so-and-so and Glenn. Anyway, somebody.
Michael, this is Stuart. I just have a question. I want to make sure I'm doing my role correctly in terms of being a Zoom host. What I do is I'm looking at the people who are putting their hands up, and that's when I interrupt and say, this sort of person has a, is that proper?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, it's always tricky to make sure they're finished with their thought. But yes, you're doing
some
that part great.
Don't put an end to their sentences, I noticed.
Right. And I have been a little more aggressive because we had one yesterday who wasn't doing their job. So I had to kind of step up and be boss hog.
Well, I'll be doing my job.
You're doing great. You're doing great.
Thank you.
Otherwise, we'd have to dock your pay.
Stuart, I want to say a word. I don't know who's listening to us and not talking, but I really want people who haven't talked yet to butt in.
It's interesting you said that because there were a couple of people that left the call that haven't talked. So I thought to myself, I wonder if they got scared of that or they just went to go, anyway, we'll see.
Well, we can't make, they can come in and listen and not say a word if that's what they choose to do. We're not going to call on them. We want them to call on us.
Right.
Yeah.
What state are you in, Stuart?
Virginia.
Okay, VA. Okay. Very good.
Yeah, we're at the opposite end of where Sandy is. Sandy's in Northern Virginia. I'm in Southeastern Virginia, Norfolk.
But it should be noted that Stuart used to have good taste and he grew up and lived in Minnesota.
And then he got over it and came to a better state.
A warmer one anyway.
Well, there's definitely, I'm not sure all the time about that, but beats the heck out of Minnesota cold and snow.
Yeah, but we have skyways. And I will have you know that when I first moved to Minnesota, it was Stuart who helped me pick out my apartment.
Good.
And I've been in that building ever since. I'm on my third apartment in it.
Wow.
But I'm still in it.
But you're right about the skyways from that apartment. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's the advantage in talking to other blind people when you're going to move somewhere.
Yes, that's mm-hmm. true.
Because then you know where the transportation possibilities are. And
you know what, though? They've taken away all my transportation from this whole block.
Eleanor, did you have something you wanted to say? I think she had her hand raised and then lowered it, so I wasn't sure if you wanted to talk.
If you do, now's your big chance, Eleanor.
Yeah.
Although you have talked, but we want to hear from you again if you want to be heard from.
Well, June was on our Virginia Seniors call last night, so that was kind of fun. I thought, June.
Well, Bonnie was on our NFB of Minnesota board meeting call last night.
Oh.
I don't know where these people get the energy. Yeah. It's great.
Hello.
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 Hi, this is June from Delaware.
There's June.
Yes.
Hi, how you doing? You know what? The only thing that I'm just having a problem with, and I don't know if you're going to discuss this maybe tomorrow, but when you're in the cafeteria, how do you hold your tray and your plate and your cane and then come in and then, no, seriously, because it's another thing, when I go up to the legislative office in Dover, they don't have any railings. So and I don't know how to come down. So don't you know, I haven't been there in a while because I had a panic attack. So I don't know what to do, to coming down without any railings. How do you, how do you do it? What do you do?
This is Shelley. I could offer a little ideas about that maybe.
Okay.
tomorrow we are going to talk about some of the eating and cafeterias and how you handle public restaurants and stuff like that. I thought maybe what I would do is cover some things that people have asked questions about through the application process, and I'll cover some things like that. The railing thing, you're talking about going up and down stairs and coming down where there's no railing. Is that what you're referring to?
Yes, either going up or coming down, yes.
So what you would do is you would hold your cane, in my thought, maybe in a pencil grip at the bottom of the stair. Hold your cane in a pencil grip and, or it doesn't have to be a pencil grip, but feel left and feel right and figure out how wide your stairway is that you're going to be going up. And then maybe move your cane up a notch and figure out how deep the stairs are, so that if they're shallow stairs, you don't take too much of a step up. But if they're a little deeper, you're going to have to. And then I might even hold my cane right there, especially if it's not a collapsing one at all, and use that if you need a little bit of a hoist, so to speak, up. But then just go one step at a time. But you clear that space. Left and right of you, figure out you're not only feeling how wide the stair is, but how far, like where's the edge of the step, you know, to the right and to the left, how far to, is where the edge is. And if you do that kind of step by step, and that gives you a little more of a bearing of how high you're needing to step and how much space you've got. And of course, again, when you're going up, you're on the right side of the stairs. When you're going down,
you're still on the right side.
You're on the right side. So either way, you're right. If you're going up or turning around and coming down, you're going to stay to the right. But you can feel off to the right as to where that edge of the stair is and stuff like that. That might be a first thing I would do.
But I want to add, you know, all of that is excellent advice, but they're always... You know, the older we get, the more careful we have to be doing that sort of thing. Yeah. And I think you should not hesitate to, if there's someone that you can do it with, to say, would you mind if I took your arm going down these stairs?
Right.
Perfectly acceptable thing to do. If you are, I don't know, are you going there by yourself when you do that?
No, the last time, don't you know, it was a group. Don't you, and that's what I want.
Yes.
That's what I wound up doing. Somebody assisted me. You know, they assisted me.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, you know, I just panicked, you know, and I just couldn't move. You know, I was coming down.
Yeah.
I made it up, but coming down just.
Yeah. And so it's, even if you weren't having a panic attack, it's very reasonable and safe just to say, may I take your arm?
And then let the person stay one step ahead of you so that you can feel where they're going. You can feel their body movement, that they're stepping down, and how deep that is. And then they go ahead of you one step. That's a good process with a sighted guide, is to let them stay a half a step or one step ahead of you so that you can tell which direction they're turning, or, you know, how far down that step is going to be or whatever.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. That's my fear.
If I'm not interrupting, this is Jean Park. Is this better internet?
Yeah, it is.
Yes, it is, Jean.
Okay. Let me ask the question, and if it's answerable, that's fine. And if I'm going to then, as soon as I ask the question, I'm going to unmute, because I'm down in our senior community's lobby and people are coming and going. But I want to know if anybody has an answer. In this community, as well as the one that we moved from, I suppose in the guise of saving money, when they put ramps, when they put ramps on the sidewalks to go off the sidewalk into the street, they put them only one for an intersection, which is a 90-degree intersection, and they only put one, and it goes right down. And if you follow that ramp down, you're going to end up out in the middle of the intersection. How does one get off that and realigned and squared up again so you cross the street in the crosswalk? Most of the time I'm with a sighted guide when I do that sort of thing, but there could be a time when I don't have that. I mean, there has been. So anyway, just your ideas. I'm going to mute now, so you don't have to listen to the lobby.
So I think what she's saying is the ramp goes clear. If you followed it all the way out, you have to do some of the shorelining, which is following an edge maybe a little bit when you start feeling it.
Unmuted or muted. Okay.
Go ahead.
When it's you go
down, muted.
As you feel when you feel the ramp going down, keep a shoreline or an edge, find an edge, because maybe there's the sidewalk. You could feel where the sidewalk would start at the closer to the bottom of this. So that and kind of even just stand in position without moving and figure out if there's a left edge and a right edge. So that you can feel a curb, and that way you know that you would be on the sidewalk and ready to go forward rather than following the ramp clear to the end of it.
You currently unmuted all.
Okay. I don't know if I explained that quite right, but maybe other travel people can take off that. But that's what I'm thinking a little bit. You'd need to find that edge of the ramp.
Yeah. Okay.
This is Stuart Prost. I'm glad you asked that question. I was going to bring that subject up for a different reason. I serve on I'm the chair, actually, of the local Commission for People with Disabilities. And one of the things they're talking about is when you say ramps, really the word is curb cuts. And one of the things is what is if you were going to recommend a design of a curb cut, what would be the most advantageous for those of us who are blind? Because the diagonal you're talking about to me seems real weird because if I was in a wheelchair, for example, I'd come out into the middle of the street and have to turn to my right to get to the other side. And that puts the people in the line of traffic because it's a diagonal. So I'm thinking that the best design is to have a curb cut at each side of it, so to speak, square with, for example, if there's a crosswalk. So it brings it down in the crosswalk. It would benefit not only folks who are blind, but individuals who, you know, have to have mobility issues, maybe. But I was hoping to ask our travel people, cane travel people, that question. They didn't get a chance to.
Yeah, I know with using the curb cuts, I've always, and I don't have other mobility issues. So, I mean, hearing might be, not hearing things as clearly might be the worst of my issues. But find where the curb cut is, but stay on the upper side of it, on the curb side of it. Like if you're standing at the intersection, you're crossing a street in front of you and your parallel traffic is to your left, then you would stand on the inside of that curb cut to the right. And that way you're stepping down and you're crossing more where the curb cut is. You feel the curb cut right to your left, but you're standing on the curb so that you can go straight across. You're still, I think, in line with the crosswalk, but you're not as likely to just zoom out the middle of the street or angle left into the center of the intersection. That's an idea. And some streets are trickier than others. Some towns are trickier than others. I know in Charleston, South Carolina, a lot of the streets are just, they pretty much just, there might be a curb cut, but it's more that the street is just so old that the sidewalk you're walking on blends into where the street is, and it's hard to tell. So.
Currently unmuted.
Mm-hmm.
Gene, I'm going to go ahead and mute you unless you have other questions. I don't know. You were trying to be unmuted.
Hey, anyone else with anything? I'll be curious to hear your, that was a great question about the holding the tray and navigating your cane because I've been done there. You know, the best things that I do is center my items on that tray to make sure it's balanced, but it is a challenge.
Yeah, they can get pretty unbalanced if you're not careful.
Hello, Nancy.
Hello.
Hey, Nancy. She got unmuted.
I did.
Yay.
Nancy. I thought that was you.
Nancy, do you remember what it was you were trying to say at the end?
And Sandy's going to give me Jane's email address because she had mentioned that, you know, she worked with some people who were using walkers, and we've been discussing that in the affiliate, and some of us are just thinking about it more because balance is getting kind of hinky, but so I'm gonna email her and ask her.
Okay, but I thought if you wanted to Well, maybe you said enough. I didn't know if what you're wondering is probably being wondered by other people as well. So
that's why I wanted to ask the question, and I was getting real grumpy in my head because I'm like, I really want to talk,
and you can't.
You can't. Nobody will hear you.
Does your question have to do with how do you use a cane and a walker at the same time?
Well, I wanted to see what kind of techniques she could, you know, she might have. But yes, that's
one.
I know some of the time you can use a cane that's longer than you normally would use. And you would keep your hand on your left side of your walker. And maybe, you're using your cane over the top of the walker so that you can feel out in front of you further where you need to be walking. And you would walk lower, take a few steps, kind of sweep left and right with your cane to figure out if the area is free to walk, and then take your steps and go. And again, the tendency to me would be you'd want to be leaning forward or your head would be down. You want to, as much as possible, maybe even use your elbow of the hand that your cane is in somehow to lean on it a little bit on the right handle side of your walker so that you can, what I'm trying to say is stand a little more upright with your head up, if that's a possibility, so that hearing, what you're hearing out in front of you and around you, is more level with where you are, rather than your head being down and it causes you to veer left and right a lot more.
Can I back up a little bit? Because I'm not, did you say have your cane on top of your walker?
Yeah, over the top. Your hand
over, I meant over the top.
Yeah.
Over Shelley, this is Sandy, and I can tell you, and maybe you've tried it, I don't know, but I can tell you that sounds better in theory than practice.
I'm sure.
Because I was going to say the issue would be balance in that regard, because you're using the walker as your balance, and if you need to have both hands on the walker, that would be my question.
A few years ago, John, my husband, who, for people who don't know us, is also blind, had some leg surgery that required walker use for a time. And he tried to figure out a way to use a cane and a walker together and simply could not do it. It wasn't worth it. I mean, we just came up with a different solution for outside travel that worked much better when he had to go out and go places. And so I'd be interested in how, you know, what Jane's technique is, but I don't know what it is.
Well, also using a walker and a cane, you know, was, you know, be bad enough under normal circumstances. But I don't have real good balance sometimes, and I can't even imagine trying to stay upright, have my cane, have my walker, and walk.
Mm-hmm. Nancy, what about using like a support cane in one hand and your white cane in the other hand? Would that be able to help you with balance? Like a four-prong cane maybe or something?
I don't
know. That helps some if you don't need to use the walker.
It depends on how much, you know, yeah.
You've got to have enough leg strength, though, to be able to... Because John's done that too, and he said it is not fun, but that's what you want to work toward if you can. And he said it because particularly if standing for a long period of time is not easy, and you need the support cane for that purpose.
This is Judy. For indoor travel, I discovered when I was in the hospital last April, and then I switched. It happened in the hospital too, but a rehab center, they didn't want me to go anywhere without a walker. I understood why, as I got stronger, that it wasn't necessary, but I decided that my walker was my cane. You know, I wasn't going to try to use both, and I kept the walker in front of me. I'm holding on to that. So you got to slow down when you're in these circumstances anyway, because if you run over anybody, that could be a serious problem.
Yes.
But wouldn't it make it easier, make it hard? No. Wouldn't you be more likely to... If you've got your, you know, if you're using your walker to have it step off the
No, remember, I was doing this. Yeah, I was doing this inside.
Oh, okay.
So I wasn't even going to consider going outside with this. And I don't know if it had become a permanent situation. I'm not sure what I would have done. So I'm glad I didn't have to figure that out. I'm very grateful.
So are we?
Well, I'm told that, this is Sandy, I'm told that there is a woman who is using what's called a Hemi walker, and I'm not sure what that is, but she's totally blind, is using a Hemi walker and a long white cane. And I'm wondering if the Hemi walker is something that you do control primarily with one hand. That would kind of make sense to me.
Yeah, because Hemi would indicate half a walk, or
yeah.
To me, a little smaller walker, smaller version of one, maybe.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking, too.
Mm-hmm. We'll have to look into that.
Or would that be for someone who has one good leg and one leg not as well that they could use that? I don't know.
Don't know.
That's where I think the support cane might come in. I had a situation about a year and a half ago where I was using both temporarily, fortunately, a walker. I injured my hip and used a walker and then went to a support cane. And for a while was walking outside with both a support cane and a white cane. And then when I tried walking alone, actually, the physical therapist said that the white cane actually improved my stability by itself.
Well, excuse me. Alexa just told me a little bit about what a Hemi walker is.
Okay.
It's a walker that you just use with one hand. Like, you know, a lot of, you know, most regular walkers, you use, you know, you would use both hands. So I didn't find out anything else. But
that answers that question, though, as far as how you could use a Hemi walker with a, now whether that's practical for people, I don't know. And if it's not safe, it doesn't matter that you can use it with one hand.
It might be safe inside. I'm a little leery of trying to use anything except for my regular cane outside. But
well, this is Sandy. I would guess that that's one of those situations where it would make sense to work with a physical therapist who could watch what you're doing and maybe offer suggestions for ways to correct if balance is an issue or you're changing your body, you know, the way, the direction that you walk without realizing it. There might be those kinds of suggestions.
I agree about the physical therapist. That's a good idea.
This is Judy. I will tell you that at first they told me that I always had to wait for someone. If I was going to get out of bed, I had to wait for someone. And I knew I could do it, you know, and I knew even if I had to grab, I could hold on to furniture as I went by, you know. And so I took the plunge and I said, I'm not waiting any longer. And I got it. And then they got used to it. So I survived the prison.
So I have to wait for someone to get to the bathroom in that scenario. Yeah.
Uh huh.
But you've also had the skill, though, Judy, to know how to do that and to be assertive with it. And I think for people who are just learning, they aren't.
You're absolutely right about that. Because blindness wasn't new to me, I knew two things. One is I knew what I could do. And number two is I knew that they wouldn't expect much.
Yeah, so, you're talking like a rehab facility, right?
Where they just assume if you're blind. They were better than I could have expected.
Well, I think they're looking at it. They're always really safety conscious. And particularly when you first start out in a situation like that and you're not, it's usually the physical therapist who will give the go ahead. And once they see that you're strong enough in walking, then they'll say, go ahead and do this. That's been my experience. That was my experience in a rehab.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right.
Unfortunately, it was also, you had the same thing too. You also had to deal with, I don't know if you had to do a 10-day in your room because of COVID. I had to do that too.
No.
I did.
Oh, dear.
The physical therapist came back, occupational therapist, and then one day and he said, you're getting out of purgatory.
No, we did have to be tested every, I don't remember if they did every day, every other day, but as long as we were clear, we were all right.
Oh, okay.
Well, this is Sandy. Don't get COVID in Europe. That's all I got to tell you.
Oh, your stories are awful. They should make a movie. Of everything
being
that happened,
stuck in the hotel, the COVID
jail. Yes.
What, did you get pasta every night? Yeah,
twice a day, lunch and dinner. Some of it was good and some of it was scary awful because it had something, some fish that had tentacles, and I was grossed out.
Oh,
do not like things with tentacles.
Unless you're looking at it in an aquarium, maybe, but.
Well, yeah, but I'm not going to eat that thing if I'm looking at it in an aquarium.
What's a new word to calamari, right?
Well, yeah, and I don't like calamari, so I forget about calamari. I had great plums, though, and great gelato. And anyway, those are stories for another time.
Anyone else has something you want to talk about? Different subject? By all means, go ahead and unmute. And
yeah, let's have a happy one.
Happy one, yeah.
Happy, happy, happy.
Happy, happy, happy.
It's warmer today in Arlington than it was yesterday. It was cold.
Currently unmuted, all plus A button.
There's someone.
Ooh, somebody unmuted.
No, it was me. I was trying to figure out if I've been practicing this whole unmute thing after
good
2 days. I wanted to really say something.
Yeah, it's alt A. I thought you were on a computer. I should have said that. I was.
No, I know about the alt A. And when I was doing the alt A thing, and it was still but then it was saying,
the host is not allowing people to unmute.
Yes, yeah. And I had been told to unmute myself.
Okay, no. But here's the thing: if you remember that when you come in, you have to tab around and look for the
got this.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. All right. I just learned that from Sandy. Mm-hmm. I never knew that.
Yeah, that's where we're recording.
What were you saying? Look for the what, Judy?
Got it.
It's GOT space IT.
Because you're recording, yeah.
Yeah, it's because of recording.
Yeah.
So if you ever hear that, say the host is not allowing you to unmute.
Got it, yeah.
You have to tab over to got it, meaning you acknowledge that you're being recorded and your voice will be captured. So.
Also, that has nothing to do with helping you get unmuted.
Yes, it
does.
Well,
it does.
You can't unmute when if you haven't said got it, then you can't unmute yourself.
It's almost like I agree or not agree. You're agreeing to the background. Okay.
Yeah, got it.
Got it. There you go. We're looking for Jesse. He's the speaker for next 3 o'clock. So hopefully when he gets in, he'll be a co-host. Scott White is not available.
I am not Jesse. I just thought I would make that clear.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're not Jesse.
I don't see him yet.
He's not here. It should speak. Now, sometimes my screen reader says when they come in, sometimes not. But
I'm looking down the list and I don't see
him. No, he's not here yet.
I didn't see him either, but.
Unless he's on a telephone. I don't even see any on.
No, I had him in another convention. I think he comes in on a computer, so.
Yeah.
It'll come up.
Oh, he works for the NFB?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, he would, come in on a computer most likely. Let me see. Nope.
Michael, how do you say his last name? Do you know?
Shurik?
Shurik? Thank you.
Shurik.
While we're at it, we do have one person who's an iPhone that still isn't identified. Maybe they want to remain anonymous.
Yeah, they've been here for a while.
Okay. They're just checking.
Yeah, we have like three. Oh, there's someone.
No, there's only one that I see right now. Unless it doesn't.
But there are three when we have a full load. There's three, so yeah. We don't know which one it is.
Okay, there Jesse is in the building.
Yeah. All right,
Jesse.
How are you doing?
Hello.
You have a lot of friends here, Jesse.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that.
Yeah. I don't know if they'll be friends with yours by 4 o'clock, but they're here now.
I was just going to say that, Jesse, don't worry about whether we're your friends now. Worry about it when you're done.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'm going to do my best not to bore you to sleep. So.
Or if all we right. say, great job, and we really hope you can join us next year, you'll know you did well.
Okay, that sounds good. And if I don't, I'll know I'm in trouble.
No pressure.
This is a tough crowd, Jesse, I'll tell you.
Uh-oh.
It's
a fun crowd.
It's a very fun crowd. People are just themselves, which is great.
You sound like you have good energy. I'm kind of wondering if I'm going to be able to keep up with all of you.
Oh, for seniors, we're doing great.
Yeah,
you sound great. 4 hours in.
You sound great.
Jamie always has energy.
Get started?
About 10 minutes.
In a few minutes, sweetie.
Oh, okay.
Right now we're in this. This is considered the chat and share session.
Got it. Okay.
51. So you can chat if you'd like and share some things.
I'd love to chat.
We're not going to talk about Newsline.
But don't tell us anything important about Newsline yet.
Oh, I wouldn't dare.
Jesse, where did you used to live? You used to live not in Maryland. Where did you used to live?
Yeah, I used to live in North Dakota.
That's what I thought.
That's where I got my start.
Where in North Dakota?
So I was in Fargo, North Dakota, right on the Minnesota-North Dakota border.
Yeah,
on the yeah, been there.
Border, I would point out.
Yeah, and the Red River Valley, where the wind really, really blows. Cold. Yeah,
it's really
Fargo
flat
should be the windy
too.
City. Seriously,
I could not live there.
Yes, you yeah. could.
No, I couldn't. Look, I'm cold when it's 50 degrees.
Well, then you probably wouldn't know the difference.
Judy. Yes,
I would. Hey, look, it's a different cold than what we have in Virginia. I can tell you that.
Yeah, it would be.
It's drier usually.
Yeah. Still drier cold you can bundle up for.
Yeah.
This bone-chilling nonsense we get here with the humidity is awful.
Yes.
Well, there's no real perfect place. Otherwise, we'd all be there.
Yep.
Right. Every place has or we something. Couldn't afford to live there.
That's true. Probably true.
Well, San Diego's pretty close. My daughter lives there, and it's generally
My wife and I were in San Diego last month, and I agree, but it's also one of the very expensive place to live right now.
It sure is.
But it
did it rain?
Yeah. They've had a lot of rain in the last couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah.
They even had an earthquake by my aunt's house in Beverly Hills, and she said the house shook. Her house is like a $4 million house, and she said the house shook. I'm like, well, that's not very encouraging.
No.
We're going there in 3 weeks. I'm glad it happened then. I don't know.
Maybe they'll get all the rain out by the time you go there.
Yeah. Yeah. I love
the nice thing about it is in the summertime, it's not as hot as it is down here, and it's less humid, particularly by the ocean.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. See, people are coming in fast and furious.
Good.
Woohoo! Oh, wait, I shouldn't do that.
No, you shouldn't.
You know, Judy, I think every time I'm trying to make a comment, I always think they're waiting for the woohoo, and it's just James making a comment.
I know. I will obligate you to letting me draw a number if you do that. I
know. It'll happen in the next 2 hours, I promise.
Well, good, because that's all you got for this I day.
You might New Year's tomorrow during the mobility hour because some folks don't attend that.
That's
they gotta be
well,
present.
Yeah, if you haven't given them forewarning, that's not fate. And we didn't. We could today if you say now. Tomorrow we want you to know that the last prize will be in during the King
mobility session. Yes, yeah. We could do that because we haven't done that period.
Uh huh.
Fine. 218 or 216. That might be
218. That's Glenn.
Oh,
Glenn. He's not 218.
Oh, 25. But it ended 2525, didn't it?
No, that's Glenn.
Yeah.
Glenn has 2525.
Yep.
Yeah.
In the year 2525. Remember that song?
I remember that song.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yep, I remember. Xavier and Evans.
That's right. Okay. Let's see what we're doing here. Still have 5 minutes.
5 more minutes, everybody. Somebody say something important that has nothing to do with Newsline. You can say it now.
Important.
Oh.
Couldn't help it.
Yep. Who has a nice clean joke?
No, we don't want that, do we?
Well, you heard about the
Glenn,
who were racing each other and they ended up in a tie, right?
What was it?
What was it? Go ahead. Say it again.
You heard about the two silkworms who were racing each other and they ended up in a tie.
Oh!
Was that in a preschool grade 3 book?
Oh, this should be fun. Alexa, tell a joke.
Oh, no.
Did you hear about the pig that joined the Royal Shakespeare Company?
Nope.
He was a natural Hamlet.
Oh. I love the speed of your Alexa.
Yeah, I forgot how to slow her down, but I can understand it. But I thought of. Yeah.
I think you can just say.
Slower, that's all.
You Alexa just say.
Speak
talk
slower,
slower.
Talk slower.
Yes,
yeah.
Speak slower. Yes. Yep.
I like knock knock jokes that she says, too. Some of them are pretty goofy.
I like to do the. What do you call those? Tongue twisters.
Oh.
They're really funny. And do them with your grandkids and you speed up the speed. It's really funny.
Kids would love that.
We'll save that for the Grandparenting 202, Shelley.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Yeah, have you ever tried the Daily Connection?
Not joke. Okay.
Yes, okay. I not only do the Daily Connection every day for my family that does not have a Lady A,
right?
I email them.
Oh, nice.
And then they get to do it. And if someone can't figure out the answer, we tell them only if they want us to.
You know,
save all that for tomorrow. Tomorrow at 3 o'clock is all about Alexa.
Okay.
I also have to do knock knock jokes.
On that panel, Curtis Chong's on that panel, Jerry Ramirez on that panel, and I'm on that panel. It's going to be a riot. And everybody else is going to help us too. So that should be fun.
And we'll set off every device. So you need to mute your devices. Or
every time Judy goes, Alexa, volume 8 for the drawing. Mine goes boink. Time's right in.
Well, fortunately, I have headphones on, so Lady A doesn't hear me. Hear you. You can hear me.
That's good.
Well, I got a new computer about maybe 6 months ago, and I did not know, nor did I intend for it to have a lady on it. And once I started using it, I'm like, what the hell is she doing on my computer? She's supposed to be in my living room.
Call an app.
Yeah, I forgot about that. There's a Windows app, I think, that you can have Lady A on your computer.
Well, that must be what I got.
I have that app on my iPhone.
Yeah, I do too.